I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Romans in the chapter number 10. That's the 10th chapter of the book of Romans. I want us to commence reading at the verse number 9 from this passage of God's Word. That is Romans chapter 10, and commencing to read at verse number 9. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We end our reading there from God's precious word. Just let's bow our heads in prayer and ask the Lord to bless us tonight as we minister God's word. Eternal God and gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening for the opportunity to preach thy precious word. We thank thee that this is thine infallible book. We believe it with all our heart. And we know tonight that thy word is forever settled in heaven, that thy word is true. And O God, I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt take of thy word, that thou wilt imprint it deep upon the heart of every man and woman. And may this night be a night when they will hear that call, O God, effectual call of grace, that men and women, young people, will come to saving faith in Jesus Christ and know thee as their Savior and as their Lord. And so to this end, O God, I trust you now for power. For thy power, it shall not fail. O God, anoint us with fresh oil and give us liberty in the Holy Ghost. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. I want us to turn to that familiar verse, number 13 of this book of Romans, chapter number 10. It says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now those who were with us last evening in the service, we dealt with the subject of man's greatest problem. We dealt with the problem of man's sin. But tonight I want to speak on another subject, and it is God's glorious remedy. The remedy of God for our sin. And I trust tonight that the Spirit of God will indeed speak to each and every one of our hearts concerning that remedy that God has for our sin. Now there's a word that is mentioned in that verse. There's the last word of verse number 13. It says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it is that word saved that I want to speak upon tonight. It is about God's glorious remedy for man's sin. And it is God's wonderful, God's full, and God's free salvation. So the first thing I want us to look tonight is this, the subject of the text. It is the subject of being saved. Now, I know whenever you speak to some people, you ask them, are you saved? They get their hackles up. They get all annoyed and say, how dare you ask me that question? Who do you think I am? And what do you think I am? Because they have no concept at all about what this save business is all about. Now the Bible tells us that salvation is of the Lord. It is the most important thing, and the most important thing in all the world for sinners. Because without it, mankind will be lost. Men and women will be lost hopelessly, and they're going out to a Christless eternity, and they'll be lost in hell forevermore. I can't understand today why it is that the word saved and salvation is little talked about in many places and many churches. Because the Bible's full, not only of the word saved, but it's full of the message of salvation. Because from beginning to end, from Genesis to Revelation, it is a story of God's wonderful, full, and free salvation that is offered to poor, lost, guilty sinners. Because saved and salvation is indeed a very biblical work. For example, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? Why did Paul say? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 2, it speaks about the gospel. It says, "By which also ye are saved." And so therefore, when people talk about, "I sit under a gospel preacher," then he has to talk about salvation, because it's a gospel that saves men and women, "by which ye also are saved." In Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 22, it says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." We looked one night on that question that the Philippian jailer asked. It was this: "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And of course the answer was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." John's Gospel chapter 10, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, and this is what Jesus said. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He shall be saved. And it is, "If any man enter in through Christ," he says, "I'm the door." And he says, "By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." John's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 17. "For God sent not a son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Ephesians, chapter 2, and verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast." In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "According to his mercy, he saved us." Do you remember the disciples turned to the Lord Jesus when he talked about how hard it was for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God? And they asked the Savior the question, this question: "Who then can be saved? Who then can be saved?" And then in John chapter 5 and verse 34, "But these things I say that ye might be saved." So friend, let me tell you, I can understand. What has a man that stands in the pulpit to talk about? What he has got to preach about if he's not preaching about salvation? Because that's the very essence, the very power, the very center, the very core of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I remember in 1957, a young lad came into my mother's room. He was my elder brother. He was 4 years older than me, and he said to my mother, he says, "Mommy, I've got something to tell you. I got saved tonight." Friend, you might ask this question: saved from what? I remember whenever I was a child, I remember the night I got saved on the 4th of June, 1957. I remember going into school on the Burn Road in Cookstown, sitting down beside my mate that was sitting on the desk. It was Joe. And I said to Joe, "I want to tell you something, Joe, straight away. I got saved last night." And this is true. You know what he looked at me? Looked at me so strange. And he said, "Why were you drowning?" That's all I could think about. Somebody was saved from drowning. I said, "No, Joe, that's not what I'm saved from. You asked me then tonight, well, what are you saved from?" Well, the answer is very simple. The Bible gives it. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 21, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for" what? "He shall save his people from their sins." And that's what salvation's all about. It's salvation for sinners. And it says in God's word, "He shall save his people from their sins." But I can hear somebody tonight saying to me, "Well, what does that to do with me? How does that relate to me, that he shall save his people from their sins?" And the answer is very simple. The word of God says, "For all have sinned." But you say to me, "Oh, no, hold on a wee minute. How dare you stand on that pulpit tonight and tell me I'm a sinner? How dare you try to tell me that I'm a sinner? I'm not a sinner." Well, I tell you, my friend, it's not me telling you. God says you are. God says you are a sinner.
Natural fact, I want you to keep your hand there, but turn to 1 John chapter 1. We better go to the Word of God. 1 John chapter 1 and the verse number 8, and this is what it says. It says, if we say we have no sin, that's you. You object to the preacher talking about sinners, and you say, listen, it's not me, preacher, because I have no sin. Well, God says in His precious Word, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And then it says, the truth's not in us. We're lying. And friend, let me tell you, you're lying. But the sad reality is this. The Word of God says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. In other words, you're lying to yourself. You're lying to yourself. Surely you'll love your own soul to be honest with yourself. Why would you sit there, friend, and listen so piously and say, well, that's not me he's talking about, because I have no sin. God says, if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And it says that the truth is not in us. Now, of course, Jesus is the truth. So Christ is not in you. You haven't Christ. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, for He is truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And then it says in that same chapter, 1 John chapter, look at verse number 10. If we say we have not sinned, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. That's serious business, isn't it? That there would be a man and woman sitting in this meeting that would dare to look into the face of God Almighty and say, God, you're lying. You're lying. I'm not a sinner, and I have not sinned. The Word of God says, we make Him a liar, and His Word is not in us. Why does it say this, we make Him a liar? Because God says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned. And so therefore, when a man says, well, I haven't sinned, then you're lifting your finger in the face of God, friend, and you're saying, oh, Lord, you're lying to me. You're lying to me. How dare you say, God, that I have sinned? Because I have not sinned. And the Word of God says, His Word's not in you. His Word is not in you. And friend, I want you to know tonight, you need God's salvation. You know, a man is drowning. He's going down for the last time, and a life guard dives in and pulls him out to safety, and he saves him. The child is trapped inside a burning house, and the fireman goes in, and he pulls the child, and he rescues the child from the flames, and he saves him. The man is facing bankruptcy in his business. And his friend comes along and he gives him money to prevent that from happening. And he saves the business from going down under. But friend, what I'm talking about is something more serious. I'm not talking about saving your business. I'm not even talking about saving my friend, even a loved one. I'm not talking about a drowning man. I'm talking about your soul, the salvation of your soul. And this is what Jesus said. What should it profit a man if he gained the whole world? And he loses his own soul, for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The most precious, precious part of your being, friend. Your precious, never-dying soul. And God says you need to be saved. I want you to notice, if you turn with me to Romans or Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 for a moment. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Here is the must of salvation. It says in God's word here in verse number 12 of Acts chapter 4, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. Here's a divine necessity, friend. You must be saved. You see, a necessity is something that you can't do without. In order for you to live, there are things that are a necessity. There are things that people think about. It seems to be today, it's a necessity for a person to have an iPhone or to have a mobile phone. It seems to be that. There's some people and they think the necessity is their television. Let me tell you, my friend, if you never had your iPhone and you never saw the television, you haven't lost much, have you? In reality, you might think it. But there are things you can't do without. There are things that are necessary. There are things that are essential. For example, you need oxygen to breathe. That's an essential. That's a necessity. You need food to eat. That's an essential. You need water to drink. That's a necessity. That's an essential. And in relation to your soul, friend, If you're going to escape the Christless hell for all eternity, you need God's salvation. Why? Why? Why must you be saved? Because Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22 says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." All under sin. And friend, you this night, you must be saved. You must be saved from sin's power. The very power of sin. Because the Word of God says we are all under sin. The word "under" means to be shut up as a prisoner in a solitary, hopeless depths or solitary confinement of a dungeon. You're closed in. You see, the alcoholic, he's under the power of the booze. The drug addict is under the power of his drugs. But friend, let me tell you, you might easily point your finger at the alcoholic. You might easily point your finger at the drug addict and say, "Ah, not me." But you see, the sinner's under the domination of a sin. Your sin. And that's the thing that'll damn you. That's the thing that'll take you to the lowest hell, my friend. God's able to save the alcoholic. God's able to save the drug addict when he confesses a sin. But God will save the sinner if he owns up and confesses a sin. But if he does not acknowledge a sin, that poor soul will never, ever be saved. He needs saved from the power of a sin. In Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22, it says this: "His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin." I want to tell you, my friend, the reason why you're not saved tonight, you're held by the cords of your sin. You're in bondage. Oh, you say, "Not me. I'm a free man." You're nothing of the sort, friend. You're only fooling yourself. You're not a free man. You're under the bondage. The Word of God says you're all under sin. You say, "Well, I can do whatever I like. I'll be whatever I like." No, you're a prisoner. You're a prisoner to your sin. In John's Gospel in the chapter 8 and in the verse number 34, the Lord Jesus Christ says these words: "Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, or truly I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." He's a servant of sin. He's in bondage to sin. And let me tell you, my friend, that's why you need to be saved. Because you need to be saved from the power of your sin. Thank God he breaks the power of cancel sin. Thank God he sets the prisoner free. Thank God I can say tonight, his blood can make the fathers clean. Hallelujah. His blood can avail for you and me. You see, you need to be saved from the power. You need to be saved from the pollution of your sin. Let me show you what the Holy Ghost says about your sin, friend. And you say to me, "Preacher, no, not me. I'm all right." Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 6, it says this: "From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." The sinner is, friend, under the pollution of sin. In the book of Isaiah chapter 64, it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." I remember some years ago going to Brazil. I went out to Dr. Bill Woods out in Brazil. He took me to the leper colony. And when I went to the leper colony, friend, let me tell you this. He brought me there, and oh, the stench that there was of some. Some of the patients came in to Dr. Woods to get their bandages taken off and new bandages put on. And friend, when they came in, perhaps from the interior, they came from different parts of Brazil, and they came to where Brother Woods was. And you take the bandage off and listen. The bandages were stinking. They were rotten. You know, friend, let me tell you, you would just take it and you'd put it away. Let me tell you, know what God says? All your righteousnesses, in other words, the best you can do, are as filthy rags. And you know what the sinner thinks? The sinner thinks, oh, I'm all right. I'm good enough for God. I'll present. When I get to hell, when I get to the door of heaven, when I stand at the judgment, I'll say, Lord, you can let me in because look at me. Look what I have done. I've been clean living. And God says, all your righteousnesses, that's all your clean living, are as filthy rags. Rags of filth. What an awful tragedy. And yet multitudes of people in Ulster tonight, they're presenting them and they think that that'll be good enough for God when the day they stand before God. You see, friend, you've got to see the filthiness of your sin. From the crown of your head to the sole of your foot, there's nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. The stench of your sin in the nostrils of God. And you need to be saved from it. You must be saved. It's not maybe. It's not perhaps. Listen, you must be. You must be. That's what Acts chapter 4 says. Whereby we must be saved. Do you get it, man? You must be saved. You need to be saved from his power. You need to be saved from his pollution. You need to be saved from his penalty. Because Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. You see, man, or sin makes man a rebel against God. He disobeys, he ignores, he denies, he refuses to live for God. And God says there's a penalty for your sin. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 says, your sins have separated between you and God. Separate you. To cast you far away from God, friend. Your sin will banish you from God's sight. Your sin will separate you from God's presence. You know what Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 21? He says, I go my way. He says, ye shall seek me and not find me. He says, ye shall die in your sins. And where I am, you can't come. Where I am, you can't come. And friend, it'll not matter what your preacher says at your open grave. He can consign you to heaven, give you the best eulogy that anyone could ever hear. That's why this congregation knows I don't do eulogies at funerals. I don't give a great repertoire of what people have done or what they haven't done. Because let me tell you, God knows all about it. God knows the life I've lived. And so ought the family to know as well. They don't need the preacher to give that eulogy at the end of the journey. Because many a preacher stood up and made himself a liar and sent the person straight to heaven. And friend, let me tell you, as the preacher was standing in that pulpit, that poor lost soul, their body may be lying in the coffin, but before they ever got to their grave, their soul was in hell. And Jesus says, you died in your sin. And where I am, he says, you can't come. You can't come. And God serves the exclusion order on the Christless souls of men and women because there's a penalty for sin. Because sin will reap its wages. The wages of sin is death. Friend, you must be saved. But then there's something else. Thank God there's not only the must be saved. Thank God there's the mercy of salvation. In the book of Titus, in the chapter 3, we read those lovely words where it tells us in Titus 3 and verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. According to his mercy. Thank God I'm saved tonight. According to his mercy. The word of God says in Lamentations 3:22, it is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. We have nothing to boast in tonight. Thank God, Paul says, I will glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a man that has got to heaven, friend. There's not a man or woman that'll get to heaven will boast that they got there themselves. Because the only way to heaven was through Jesus Christ, the Lord. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. God in mercy doesn't give us what we do deserve. And God in grace gives us what we don't deserve. What a God we have tonight. Do you remember Adam sinned? He sinned against God. That's what the Word of God says. And the voice of the Lord God came walking in the cool of the garden. And God said, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Let me tell you, friend. Man sinned against God. Man deliberately defied the God of heaven and disobeyed the clear, concise command of God. Thou shalt not eat of it. And man sinned against him. But man didn't come running after God. In actual fact, he did the opposite. He ran from when the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Man ran to hide himself from God. But he found out he couldn't. And friend, neither can you. You'll never be able to hide yourself from God. But God came walking in the garden that day. And the heart of God came crying out, Adam, Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? He brought Adam out to the place where he had to admit, she gave me, and I did eat, to confess a sin. And friend, tonight, is of God's mercy you're not consumed. What does that mean? It's of God's mercy that, dear sinner, you've rejected Christ over and over and over again. Isn't God merciful he didn't send you to hell already? But God in mercy has spurred you to another mission on the hill. Another gospel meeting. Another gospel opportunity. Another gospel invitation. Oh, God's been merciful to you. But don't presume on God's mercy, friend. We looked the other night at Lot's wife. And she presumed on the mercy of God. And she thought she could look back. Just that little look. And God judged her. It's of the Lord's mercies. That's the mercy of salvation. But friend, quickly listen. The means of salvation. You say to me, preacher, well, if I need to be saved, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? Well, Acts chapter 4:12 says this. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only Savior. There is salvation in no one else, in no other place. He means salvation from sin, salvation from guilt, salvation from power of sin and the consequences of sin. It's in Christ and is found in Christ and Christ alone. Isn't that what Jesus said? People love to quote John 14 to comfort them whenever they die. They love the preacher to come in and read them John 14. At my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And Jesus says, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Listen, friend, know what it says in John 14. Don't forget verse 6. And Jesus said, when he talked about that heaven, he says, I'm the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I am the life. And then he said this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. No one can have peace with God the Father, friend. No one can obtain forgiveness of their sin. No one can escape the wrath of God that's upon the Christless soul except through the atoning death of Christ. accepted be through Christ and his work on the cross. For it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse us from our sin. It's only the righteousness of Christ that can clothe us. It is only the sacrifice of Christ that was given upon the cross of Calvary that gives you and I a title to heaven. It's only Christ and Christ alone. There is none other commissioned by the Father. There is no one other sealed or appointed by God the Father to save sinners other than Jesus Christ. Do you remember in the days of Noah? And God sent the flood, friend, let me tell you, there was one place of safety. It was the ark. You see, those inside the ark, thank God they were saved. You see, those outside the ark, they were lost. Why? Because there was only one place of safety. Just one. Only one. Do you remember whenever there was a famine down in Egypt? And whenever the famine came and Joseph was there as the chief person, and whenever people were dying of starvation, what did Pharaoh say? Go to Joseph. Only one. If they'd went to anyone else, it was no use. There was only Joseph had the authority to give. Do you remember when the death angel was passing through the land of Egypt? There was one place of safety. It was those that were under the blood. The blood of the lamb was slain. The blood of the lamb was applied to the doorpost, the lintel of the door. And those that were under the blood were safe. But remember this, friend. The death angel passed through the land of Egypt, and every home without the blood, the death angel passed in, and the firstborn was taken away to the firstborn of Pharaoh because they weren't under the blood. One place only of safety. And God says, when I see the blood, God says, when the death angel's passing through, God says, I'll stand guard. I'll stand guard over you. And the death angel couldn't enter. Why? Because God was guarding under the blood. One place. Because God declared it. Do you remember when we're looking up? Whenever down there in the wilderness, the children of Israel, they had rebelled against God, and the serpents bit them, and the people were dying. And God said to Moses, hey Moses, lift up the brazen serpent, and they that look will live. Only one way, friend. You had to look. Look at the brazen serpent uplifted. And everyone that looked, the Bible says, lived. But there's only one way. You can't be saved by big good works, friend. Because the Word of God says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't be saved by being sincere. Multitudes are sincerely wrong, and yet they have their good intentions, but it's not enough. You can't buy salvation because it's without money and without price. You say, preacher, well, where is salvation found? Thank God it's found in Christ. In Christ alone. See, the Word of God tells us the good news of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it tells us that Christ died for our sins. You see, the wages of sin was death. That's what God said. God said to Adam, the day thou eatest of, thou shalt surely die. Spiritual death. Yes, physical death followed as well. But that day, man was separated from God. He was driven out of the garden. But Jesus said, Father, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. And Christ died for us. That's good news. He died for us, instead of us. He died the death that the lost, guilty sinner like me should have died. He bore the hell that I should have borne for my sin. But praise God, Isaiah 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And thank God, with his stripes, we are healed. Our sin separates between us and God, friend. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped out of the glory. He humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And he went to the cross of Calvary and uplifted there. He bare my sins in his own body on the tree. And there on the cross in the darkness of Calvary, I hear him cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Friend, the answer is this. It was for you and me. You see, our sin separated between us and God. And Christ became the sin bearer. He became sin for us. And he who is of purer eyes than to behold sin turned away his face from his own Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for us. You and I can only be saved through faith in Christ's atoning blood and in Christ's substitutionary death. Thank God he cried on the cross, "It's finished." He paid the price. I owed a debt I couldn't pay, but Christ paid the debt for me. Jesus only saves the sinner. I hear somebody say to me, "But preacher, hold on a wee second. Is that not very unkind of you? Is that not very judgmental of you? By making that exclusive claim that there is salvation in nobody else and in none other, only the Lord Jesus Christ, you're condemning other religions. What about those that worship Buddha? What about those that worship the name of Muhammad? What about those that bow down before their altars of wood and stone? Have they not a right to their own religion?" Yes, they have. But let me tell you, friend, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. That's the name of Jesus. For his name means Savior. Savior. Jehovah is salvation. God hath given him a name that's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And that man or woman around Macra felt tonight that mocks and sneers and laughs at the name of Jesus, I want to tell you, there's coming a day they'll bow the knee before him and they'll pronounce Jesus as Lord. They'll confess it. The greatest atheist that has gone to hell with his atheism, let me tell you, there's coming a day he'll acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because every knee shall bow and confess that he is Lord. Jesus only saves. We're told about a marshal in Napoleon's army. He was a man who loved Napoleon, one of his most faithful marshals. And one day the marshal lay wounded, mortally wounded in battle. And as he lay there dying in the tent, he called for Napoleon to come. He thought Napoleon could save his life. He stepped into the tent where the man was dying. And you know, he looked, the record says, and I read it, this is what it says. As the dying man felt the cold, merciless hand of death drawing him irresistibly behind the curtain of the unseen world, he was still heard to shriek out, Save me, Napoleon! Save me! But Napoleon shook his head and he walked away. You know, friend, why? Because Napoleon couldn't save him. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Listen, saved. Now I ask you the question, is your soul saved? Have you come as a sinner to Christ? Have you confessed your sin, or are you deceiving yourself? You don't need to. Are you fooling your soul, friend? And there you are on the verge of God's eternity. And my, you're on the very brink of hell itself, and God could cut you off and take you away in any second, at any moment. And are you fooling yourself to say, I'll make it my own way? I want to tell you, God says, Jesus is the way. And you'll never make it to heaven, friend. Yes, you'll make it to hell, for there's a multitude of ways to hell. There's one way to heaven. And his name is Jesus. Very quickly, notice the simplicity in the text, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See that word call? It's simply a child's cry. The cry of one in need. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, the Lord Jesus came walking along the water. He walked on the water to come to his disciples. They thought it was a spirit and they cried out in fear. But the Lord Jesus said, be not afraid, it's I. It's I, be not afraid. Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee in the water. And Jesus says, Peter, come. Peter got out of that boat, you see, my friend, because let me tell you, his word that Jesus gave to Peter was his authority. He had power because Christ had power over nature. He was the ruler of the waves, and Jesus said to Peter, come. And Peter stepped out of that boat and he was walking to Jesus. There he was coming to Christ, and then suddenly he was taken up because the winds were blowing. And my, there was a storm there, and Peter got taken up with a storm and the winds and the waves, and he got his eyes of Christ and he began to sink. And as he was going out down into the water, friend, he cried these words, three words, Lord, save me. That was a simple prayer, and it was a short one. But I tell you, he was dead sure that that was the only one could help him. And he said, Lord, save me. You know what the Bible says? And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand. Immediately. What did Peter do, friend? He called. He cried out. In his need. He didn't cry to the disciples in the boat. He realized that they were of no help to him. And there he was going down into the watery grave, and he was about to go down under, and he looks up to Christ, takes his eyes of the waves, and gets his eyes on Jesus, and he cried out, Lord, save me. Thank God he meant it. He called. That's what he did. And thank God Jesus heard him. And Jesus saved him. And friend, that's what you've got to do tonight. You've got to acknowledge your need. You've got to acknowledge that you're lost and helpless and hopeless on your way to hell. Acknowledge your sin and see in Christ alone the Savior. And call out, because no one else has the power to save. There's a missionary in Gannon some years ago. I was Dr. Paisley's assistant in Belfast before coming to Macrofield. We're coming home from the mission and we're leaving Dr. Paisley off in his home. He lived in Cypress Avenue at the time. As we're travelling up the road, the Armour Road, we came to the Annadale embankment there, and we noticed there was a crowd of people gathered there along the bridge. There's another lad with me that night, and we were leaving Doc off and we left him off to the house and we came straight back. I suppose perhaps no nosiness to know what was going on. We came back to the place, came back to the spot. People were gathered round the bridge. And friend, we got out of the car and we asked what was wrong. What was wrong? What had happened? They said a young man, a young university student, he came to the end of his tether, as it were. He couldn't face life anymore. And so he got up on the bridge to commit suicide and he jumped into the Lagan. But you know, whenever he jumped into the Lagan and touched the cold, cold waters, he didn't want to die after all. And so the people were gathered round the bridge and they could hear the young lad shout as he came up, and they could hear her crying out, "Save me! Somebody save me!" And there were people going past and they looked and they saw the young lad and he was struggling there in the waters and he was crying out for somebody to save him. There was a taxi man going past in the car. They waved the taxi down. Taxi man down, and they said to him, "Tell us, does anybody have got a rope?" He says, "I've got a rope in the back of the car." And they said, "Well, get it quick. There's a young lad drowning here. Let's save him." The young lad had gone down into the water again. And then he came back, but his voice was lower this time, but he was still crying out, "Please, somebody save me. Somebody save me." Taxi man got the rope. He put it down over the bridge, friend, to where the young lad was. He put it down. He stretched as far as he could. But the rope was 1 foot too short. Whenever we got there, they'd got a little boat. The men were wanting to drag the Lagan, hoping that they would get the boy before he would die. But there was nobody who would row the boat. My friend and I had never been in a boat in my life, friend. But there was a young lad dying there, and I said, "Friend, come on. Let's get into the boat and try." And we started to row up and down the Lagan. And the man in the boat, he was dragging it, trying to see if he could get the lad. But friend, listen. 2 days later, the body was recovered. 1 foot too short. And I tell you tonight before God, I don't care what you're relying on tonight. If it's not the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're relying on, it'll be too short. You'll never make it. You'll never make it. And that wee lad, he died. He died. 1 foot from a lifeline. I wonder tonight, how far are you from hell? Will you come? Whosoever shall call, time's away. Here's the surety. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, listen to these words, shall be saved. Thank God it's not maybe. Thank God it's not a hope. Thank God it's not, well, I trust it will be. No, it's dead certain. Shall be saved. Who said that, friend? God said it. It's the word of God. I'm not asking you to trust this preacher. I'm not asking you to take the word of this preacher, friend. I'm asking you to take the word of the God who made you. The God who sent his son to die for you upon a rugged tree. the God to give the darling of his bosom, to shed his blood, to take, to cleanse, to wash away your sin. Here's the scope of the text. Whoever you are tonight, Jew or Gentile, Protestant, Roman Catholic, Hindu, Muslim, wherever you come from, rich or poor, educated or illiterate, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call? Will you cry out to the only one who can save you? The church can't save you. Your baptism can't save you. Your confirmation can't save you. Your religious rituals can't save you. Your preacher can't save you. This preacher can't save you. But praise God, I'm telling you, Jesus saves. My granny, I never saw her. I never saw any of my grandparents. But the night she was leaving a wee family behind, and the children were young, and her mother was dying, they heard a sound from her dying room down there in Arbo. They made their way down into the hallway of that home, and they looked in through the door, and the mother had pulled herself up in the bed, and she was singing these words. You sang it tonight. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. And of great news tonight, he still does. He saves to the uttermost all who come unto God by Christ. Will you come? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is thy word tonight, and it's true. Everyone in this gathering, we're travelers to eternity. Some of these days we'll step off the stage of time, maybe tonight, and thou shalt call us to eternity. And those that are saved will go to heaven. And those are unsaved will go to hell forever. Lord, save precious souls tonight from a Christless eternity. Save them from their sin. And for the glory of Christ, bless the Spirit of God, draw them to Jesus. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, a little verse of a hymn, just as I am without one plea. For friend, you have nothing to plead, only that you're a sinner. But thank God, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. Will you tell the Lord the next part, friend? O Lamb of God, I come. And as we sing this little verse, if there's a man, a woman, young person in this meeting, you say, preacher, lead me to Christ. Would love to. And as others have left and going from this place, there's a little room at the other side of the tent there, just outside. And we'll open there God's word and show you how you can be saved and know you're saved and be sure you're saved. And be as sure of heaven as if you're there. That's the work of God's salvation. The grace of God. But you've got to come. You've got to call on the name of the Lord. Just as I am. And if there's one Slip that hand above your head that I'll see it, as every head is bowed and eyes closed. Anxious soul, just indicate that desire. If there's a backslider, get back to the Lord. Get back to Him tonight. You're living a wasted year. You wasted years. He loves you still, just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea. Is there someone in this meeting tonight, you say, preacher, I want to be saved? Someone is away from the Lord, you're going to come back. Would you lift that hand right now, friend? Indicate that desire to heaven. I beg you in God's name, don't go on in your sin another second. Run to Christ. O Lamb of God, I come. Is there one tonight? One final verse. Just as I am and waiting not. Just as I am and waiting. Is there someone tonight in the closing second? I beg you in God's name, don't walk away from Christ. Don't walk away from the Lord, friend. The pleading of the Spirit of God. Now's the accepted time. Now's the day of salvation. Is there someone just right now? Just lift that hand that I'll see it. O Lamb of God, I come. Your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend. You say, I didn't get my hand up, preacher, but I'd love to be saved. Friend, raising your hand doesn't save you. It indicates your desire. It lets the preacher know that you've got a desire. There's a little inquiry room there just outside. I'll be at the door. Please let me know. We'll go together. We'll open the Word of God together. Brother McKee's here. We'll gladly open the Word of God and show you how you can know that your sins are forgiven. Do you not want to know that? Do you want to die in your sin? Or do you want God to save you? Oh God, my God, save the sinner. Restore the fallen. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We're here to help you. Please, I beg you in God's name, don't go away without the Lord.